The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Often there is a repetitive nature to the voice of Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit may say something through a scripture, and then you're going to hear it on the radio, and then it's going to pop up in conversation. And as you start to recognize those echoes, take those to the Lord in prayer and say, what are you trying to say to me?
Bible teacher Margaret Feinberg helps us better understand the Spirit's role throughout biblical history and in our daily lives. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I am so glad you're here with us. We have another great day with another great guest, and I know you love her. She's been on the show before, and I'm going to introduce her in a second, but I'm so glad that you're here co-hosting with me again today.
Thank you. It has been so fun to get to join again.
I love it.
And I also love that it's another show with Margaret, who's been so amazing as well.
I know. She's incredible. So look, I'm gonna ask this question. Do you ever wonder, why does the Holy Spirit feel so real to some people and so distant to others? Is it possible to recognize His voice, respond to His promptings, and truly experience His presence in everyday life? If you've ever wrestled with how to engage with the Spirit of God and why you sometimes hesitate to, I think today's conversation is going to meet you right where you are. Back with us today is Bible teacher and best-selling author. She's a speaker. She's a podcaster. Like, she does it all.
Does it all.
But I think one of her favorite things is studying the Bible so that we can grow in the Word of God. And so I hope today that you walk away from the show going, aha, now I understand, because God has so much for you. Jesus has so much for you. And the Spirit of God has so much for you today, too, that will you be able to take into your everyday life and grow in a relationship with Him that will begin to make sense, that will steady your world. You'll be able to see Him and find Him quicker than you ever have before. And I promise you, it will begin to change things all around you, and you will see things differently that might begin to answer some questions that maybe you've had for a really long time. She's written an incredible book called The God You Need to Know. And I believe you're going to want to get this book today. I'm going to let you know how you can get it. But right now, I want to welcome Margaret Feinberg back to Life Today. It's so great to have you back. Is it not great?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, we're like, please keep talking, even when the cameras are off. Just keep teaching us.
Yeah,
but I love what you're saying about Christians feeling the struggle of understanding Holy Spirit's role in their life every day, maybe feeling, even struggling with, do I feel Holy Spirit in my life? Mm-hmm. What I know you just are so good at giving practical tips on how can a Christian who might be struggling, what are ways that they can start feeling Holy Spirit moving in their life more?
Such a good question. Couple things. First of all, I think we need to recognize that not everybody feels Holy Spirit. I'll go to worship services. I'll see the worship leader up front and say, do you feel the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, nope.
That's so true, Margaret.
But even when I don't feel Holy Spirit, I can mentally give acknowledgement that Holy Spirit is here.
Okay,
and so we've got to go to Psalm 139 and recognize that we are all made differently in the womb. There is a neurodiversity, and some of us are better auditory, visual learners, tactile. And so how would it not be that our good, loving God and Holy Spirit would not know how to interact with us individually in different ways? I have an e-newsletter. I've surveyed tens of thousands of people about how they recognize Holy Spirit. Some sense Holy Spirit like a warmth in their bodies. Mm. Others like just a gentle liquid love. Others as a thought that pops into their mind that is not their own, that causes them to love God and love others. Others have scripture come to mind. Others just feel this surge of energy to do something for someone else. And so to recognize, you and I, we are not going to experience or describe what we're sensing from the Spirit in the same way. So to recognize, God may have wired you differently. If you're watching and you're thinking, but I don't feel Holy Spirit, me neither. But still there are ways. Let me give you a couple practical. Number one, grab a journal, write down each and every day one question of Holy Spirit. Mm. Who am I? Why am I here? What are you calling me to do? And return to that question throughout the day. And then start taking notes over weeks and months. And you're going to start to see patterns of sudden conversations and connections that maybe you've never had before. Number two, listen for the sacred echoes. Often there is a repetitive nature to the voice of Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit may say something through a scripture, and then you're going to hear it on the radio, and then it's going to pop up in conversation. And as you start to recognize those echoes, take those to the Lord in prayer and say, what are you trying to say to me? Third, spend time in scripture.
Yes.
The Bible is God's megaphone to his people, to our world. And so we will never hear as loud or as clear from the Holy Spirit as we're spending time in scripture. And to also recognize that it is a learned skill. I think of a lot like birding. I am not a birder, but I have friends who are.
Is it what?
The birder.
The older I get, the more birder I become.
Right?
I'm like a birder. What's a birder?
Right?
I need to start doing this. What's a birder?
I used to see these people, a lot like people the Holy Spirit, I'd be like, you are so strange. And then one day somebody described it as when they see a bird, it is like this micro, beautiful sculpture gift from God.
Aww.
And it's there for a moment and it goes away. And suddenly it was like, I'm going to spend more time paying attention to birds. But if you're going to become a birder, what do? You slow down, you pay attention, you start getting the tools, you spend time with other birders in order to learn and grow. And it's the same with Holy Spirit. We slow down, we pay attention, we get together with other believers, find out how the Spirit is working in their life, and then we start to recognize it more in our own.
Go ahead. Okay. Now we both have so much on our hearts right now.
I just want to hear so much more.
I know. We've got our attention, so we've got these questions. And let me just say that if you missed the last show with Margaret, you can go online anytime to lifetoday.org and catch all of our shows, but you won't want to miss that one either. In that last show, we talked about a little bit about dreams. You brought up dreams and sleeping. What if someone is feeling like, okay, I want to grow. I want to be able to discern and recognize the Spirit. And he's real active at night in our dreams. How do I activate Holy Spirit? Wasn't there something on Instagram one time when someone was like, activate Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit, activate.
It's so crazy. But is there such a thing? Can you?
I think, just as you can talk to Father, you can talk to Son, you can talk to Holy Spirit as a person, as part of the Trinity, a living, breathing, build a relationship with.
Yeah.
So if you want to experience Holy Spirit through dreams, start asking Holy
Spirit. Put that down on that journal.
Yes, write that down. Start paying attention.
Oh, wow.
Other people, Holy Spirit, speak to me through daily encounters where I can recognize your presence and power. I think a great example of this is found in Numbers 11. This book, The God You Need to Know, takes a deep look at the Old Testament.
Yeah,
in Numbers
does.
11, Moses has had it up to here. He is just over it. And in God's grace and mercy, he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on 70 elders. So he does. Portion of the Spirit goes on them. Except two guys are playing, they're out playing hooky. I don't know if they're like doom buggy got stuck in the sand. I don't know. But they don't go
That'd
to where
me.
They're supposed to go, right? But what's fascinating is God pours out his Spirit on them anyway. And
Love
do you
it.
Know what the two people were named? They were named Eldad and Medad. And Eldad means God has loved.
Mm.
And Medad means object of his affection. So if you are watching and you are thinking, man, Holy Spirit is not for me, that's for other people. No. Holy Spirit is for you because you are loved by God and you are the object of his affection. And he is already at work in your life. And what's interesting is when you start to pay attention, when you start to change the posture of your life, you start to see Holy Spirit more and more. It's almost like rabbit footprints in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to go, wait, there. Example, I had a friend and her husband passed away after a long, beautiful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother's Day came around. She was heartbroken. And she's by herself. She's sitting in the living room. And all of a sudden, a white dove comes and lands in her lawn and eventually comes in her windowsill. And she's looking at it. And the bird stays all day. And she's like, is this really happening? So she calls her neighbor.
It's probably unusual to even have a white dove in the first place.
Exactly.
Much less one that stays around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen one in 30 years in this whole house that she's lived in. Calls a friend, neighbor, do you see the bird too? And
like, is it me?
Exactly. Exactly. And that bird stays all night. And the next morning, wow. It's still there. And so she prays and says, Lord, why did you send a white dove? And she sensed Holy Spirit pop a thought into her mind that was not her own, grounded in scripture, that said, I have sent my very best, Holy Spirit, to remind you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I tell the story at an event, and a woman comes up to me and says, so you mean when my sister died and us as sisters were walking outside that church and there were three butterflies fluttering overhead and they followed us all the way to our car and landed on it before we drove away, that was Holy Spirit? And I got to say, yes. Mm-hmm. The God who made creation, yes, can use all of creation, yes, to draw our hearts, yes, back to Him. And the markers that something is from the Holy Spirit are, number one, when you encounter it, you know, number one, you are loved by God,
God,
you are,
yes,
seen by God, yes, you are heard by God, and,
yes,
you are part of His kingdom.
Yes.
That's so beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so what I love is thinking about the person watching, and you make Holy Spirit so real and, mm-hmm, active in life. And especially if we turn our eyes and tune our ears to hear and, mm-hmm, our eyes to see, we'll begin seeing ways like the bird and the butterflies. What would you say to people who are like, but I don't even know how to hear or feel or understand Holy Spirit when I need to make big decisions in my life, mm-hmm, or when I need to reconcile a relationship in my life? How is the Holy Spirit practical in those types of ways?
That's such a great question. I think so often, you know, we have a tendency to be like, wait till we have a really big decision to call out to God.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I do it all the time. But growing in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, don't wait for the moment you're deciding to marry someone, take a job on the other side of the country,
yes,
move,
that's
to,
right,
Africa, like that. Yeah. Practice in the little things. And those little impulses that say, go start the conversation with a stranger,
that's
go
good,
send the gift, go apologize. And when you see the fruit of that, when the Holy Spirit, you're in the store and you have that impulse to like go back to the clerk, tell them they're loved and seen by God, mm-hmm, offer to pray with them.
Yeah.
You know, and you do it and you watch the tears stream down that person's eyes, you go, okay, that was Holy Spirit. So when that sense comes again, it becomes more familiar.
Yes.
And you can walk more confidently into, yeah, what the Spirit has for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like anything, like, yeah, praying, practicing, mm-hmm, prayer, practicing, mm-hmm, the presence of God, mm-hmm, practicing the discernment of Holy Spirit, like anything regarding our relationship with Jesus, it takes work, our faith. Do what you need to do to build up your faith. You know, we're so quick to say, like, I'm upset that this didn't happen. You didn't show up here, yeah, and didn't go the way I wanted. But if we take a step back and we look, we can see the hand of God all around us in those unmet expectations, mm-hmm, the disappointments of life, the rejection that we feel, the abandonment we feel. And we might feel those things, but just because we feel that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us in the silence, you know? And so I think practicing that, knowing, yes, like you're saying, the voice of God, knowing Holy Spirit, how He operates in your life. I think sometimes people might struggle with knowing whether or not, okay, as I'm growing in this, mm-hmm, how do I know when this is Spirit-led, mm-hmm, or when this is self-led? Because, mm-hmm, some people can also be very self-led.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And really forced, like, the Holy Spirit did this. And you're like, I do not think He did that. It does not. Yes. Like, how could you even help a brother or sister,
yeah,
to, like, help them discern? Like, I think you're going down the wrong path. Like, yeah, you need to come back. Or even for
that's
someone
good
personally, that's like,
that's
how do I know?
Yeah, and I think that's great. And I think what you just mentioned, like, doing it within community.
Mm.
Like, we can all
that's
have
good
thoughts that pop in that are not from God. They're not Spirit-led.
Yeah.
But in community, as my loving sister, you guys would say, might want to press a little pause button on that one.
Yeah.
I was at a dinner party recently, and I remember a woman came up and said, well, I've been having these dreams, and in it, I meet this really good-looking guy.
I like this so far.
I know, right? But I know that when I meet him, I'm going to leave my husband and run off with him.
Oh.
And I was,
what,
like, nope.
No.
Nope. That is,
no,
not Holy Spirit. No.
No.
You know, is that consistent with Scripture? No.
Right.
Character of God? No. Increased,
no,
dependence,
fruit,
on God? No fruit. Like,
none,
smash
at all.
All
that's
fruit.
That's right.
Right. All of those things. And,
wow,
so I think, you know, those questions about character of God and the Scripture and using that as a foundation and a filter is so important. I love 1 Corinthians 13 as a colander for what we're hearing. You know, does it produce, does it make us loving and kind and serving others and believing the best in others, bringing out the best in us. Yeah. I think that's really important.
Wow. You speak about in the book, in Joel 2, this was kind of where your faith was ignited in this area. Can you tell us more about what happened personally for you?
Yeah, I've been in hot pursuit of the Holy Spirit since I was a little kid. I've read this book, and I'm like, I want the reality. Like, Jesus, are you still doing it? Are you still healing?
Oh, so
are you
good.
Still moving? Yeah. And I remember in college, I did a deep dive on Holy Spirit and read a lot of the church history, and some perspectives said, you know, that the Holy Spirit doesn't really, not really active today. And then I read other perspectives that said, of course the Holy Spirit is active today. And I remember I was so, I don't know if you've ever wrestled with God so hard you just wear yourself out.
Yes.
And I was like, God, I want to know. I want to know your truth. I want to. And one night in the middle of the night, I woke up and I had a scripture in my mind, and it was Joel 2. And I've never had this happen before and never since. But it's that passage that reads, you know, that in those times that God will pour out his Spirit and the young men will dream dreams and the old men will have visions. And, you know, and he will pour out his Spirit. And I was like, okay, God, you are real and you are still on the move now. And I think that's even come more to light in my life in the writing of this book, because when we recognize in Pentecost, they didn't have, those disciples and all the people of God, they didn't have the book of Acts to explain Holy
that's
Spirit.
Right.
They didn't have Pentecost.
That's right.
It was in real time. And so what did they do? They drew on the Hebrew text that they had in hand. Literally, Peter is quoting, you know, from the book of Joel chapter 2. And so I think that's why we've got to understand the Holy Spirit. We've got to go back to the Old Testament. And we start to see things we've never seen. I know you saw the cover of this book.
Yes.
And if you look close into it, there are all these little details. There's a sword, there's a jewel, there's water on the leaves representing the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters in Genesis 1-2. There's a feather representing the presence of Holy Spirit. And each of these represent a story or a text from the book. And I tuck them in because that's what it's like, the Holy Spirit. We've got to look close. He's there. He's on the move. He's working in our lives.
Yeah.
And if we'll slow down and pay attention, we'll start to go, wow, this is Holy Spirit.
I want to encourage you right now, as Margaret has so eloquently said, Holy Spirit is present with you right now, where you are, and begin to just exercise that muscle that says, Holy Spirit, would you start revealing yourself to me? I'm going to open my eyes and my ears to hear you. Yeah. Would you start revealing yourself to me? If someone does that, Margaret, what could they expect to see in their life as a shift or a change?
Yeah, I think number one, that power of prayer you're mentioning and that paying attention, start to change the posture of your life, being recognizing the Spirit. I think you may just find some Bible passages coming to mind in situations that maybe you're like, wait, how did that just get in there?
Yeah.
And that's the Holy Spirit bringing the Word alive. I think you're going to have some chance encounters and some conversations that are going to have themes that maybe the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You may start to have dreams and be able to take those to God
so
and the
good.
Holy Spirit in prayer. You may find that as you're praying a prayer as simple as, Holy Spirit, would you order my steps?
Amen.
That suddenly things start clicking in and you start seeing things and you start seeing people in need in the grocery store and you just slip something in their cart or you pick up their tab, you're going to start seeing, though, that we as his kids are invited to be part of his kingdom and bring it in, and that we get to be part of God's team. And it's so exciting and it's so fun.
I love the word invitation. I love that word inviting. It's an invitation for all believers that we have to accept.
Yeah.
It takes a partnership, right?
Yeah, totally. And here's the beautiful thing. If you have questions today, too, just like Belinda was praying over you and speaking over your life, and you're wanting tools, you're wanting to know, where do I begin this journey with Holy Spirit? This is why I love Margaret so much. God has gifted her. He has anointed her, that when she opens up the Word of God, that she understands it better than I would. And so then she begins to write about it. And then I pick up her book and I go, oh, now it makes sense. So the point is, if you want a tool today, pick up this book. And I want to get it to you today so that you can begin this great, incredible adventure with Holy Spirit in your life. You need him and you need the presence of God that will also bring it all to life for you as you continue to grow in your faith. There are some people right now around the world that are growing in a lot of ways, but that in a lot of ways they're struggling. And they're struggling for the simple fact that they don't have clean water. And so we have an opportunity today to come alongside them. I think of the answers you give me in this book And I think of the prayers that they pray, wanting answers right now. And I think, you know, maybe today's the day that we get to be an answer to their prayer. So take a moment, watch this. And when we come out on the other side, I want to let you know how I want to get this book to you today. But watch this first.
So is this where you get your drinking water?
Okay, this is where they get their drinking water.
How clean is it? So it kind of doesn't matter how clean it is. It's the only choice they've got. All right, well, I mean, it looks like a pretty good well. Hand dug. Does anyone in your village ever get sick from drinking this water? So if we drill a water well here, do you see it benefiting the community tremendously? Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, even the mothers here, they know the difference. The construction is significant because not only does it last longer, but as this mother knows, it keeps the contaminants out. And so, you know, our goal is that no child would ever die from contaminated water. That's why we need you. I think she's got something else she wants to say. What you're hearing is the passion of a mother who's desperate to care for her children and give them the best water they can. You can give this mother, these mothers behind me, all the other mothers in this region, fresh, clean drinking water. And we do that in so many areas with your love and with your support. Let's give them water for life.
Let's give them water for life. There is no better phrase to me when I'm on a mission field, seeing some of the hardest things I've ever seen, than to say, let's give them water for life. Jesus is the very source of life. And I know that right now they are probably praying, God, please come, make a way. And the beautiful thing is that we've been given this incredible opportunity to come in and help them find a better way. This is the only option that they have, Belinda. I don't know if you've ever been on a trip like this before in your life, but it changes you. 16 years ago, I went on my first trip with Life Outreach, and my life has forever been changed since that first trip. And I think just seeing the devastation of dirty water, contaminated water, water that kills, that doesn't bring life, it's so very real. And so many times we watch these shows and these stories, and we think that's so sad, so sad. But then we just kind of move on with life, and that's just life. But it's more than sad. When you're there and you see the death that it's bringing to especially these little babies, these children that are getting so, so sick, it would change your whole life. And so for me, coming back here, there's never been a time when I've struggled to speak about it because I know that we have a solution,
right?
And I know that it works.
It's so, when you watch it, it's so touching, and the gravity of even hearing him say, how clean is this water? And then you realize, well, that question doesn't even matter because it's all the water they have.
That's right.
They don't get to ask that question until life today comes.
Yes.
You know, that's what's so beautiful is all of a sudden it provides the covering that the mother needed. It provides the filtration system. All the questions that they have are eliminated because life today brings the answer.
Yes.
And to see that it's that simple, a well can change lives. It saves lives.
For the rest of their lives.
For the rest of their lives.
So if we go in and we drill a well, it will last on an average of like 70 years.
Wow.
And it will serve about 1,000 people in the one village. So can you imagine, like, for the rest of their lives,
amazing,
everything is about to change. They will begin to thrive. And let me tell you what that will look like for you and for me and for Belinda, for all of us today. It is so simple. We can all get involved. We are wanting to drill 350 wells in 20 nations. So for $48, you can provide water for 10 people for the rest of their lives. For $144, you can help provide water for 30 people for the rest of their lives. And for $4,800, it sounds like a lot, but yet in the scheme of things,
we know there's people who can do it, though.
There is definitely somebody right now that can provide a well for a complete village for the rest of their lives. $4,800. Go online, give us a call. Please, just whatever you do, just give the best gift you can today. I think we can all do a little bit. Some of us can do even more. But let's go in and let's change life and bring life to so many people today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Physical Health, a Bible-based collection of 52 prayers designed to bring strength, healing, and renewal to every area of your body. Covering a wide range of physical needs, this beautifully crafted book encourages intimate conversations with God. With a gift of $100 or more, you may request the Armor of God tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with Ephesians 6:11, are a practical and meaningful way to carry a reminder of God's strength and protection throughout your day. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you could give today to this outreach. You must know that it will make an enormous difference in the lives of so many people around the world right now. And for whatever gift you're able to give, I'm going to send you this book, The God You Need to Know, from my new friend, Margaret Feinberg. I'm so glad you're here. Any last minute punch you want to give us? Like, oh, that's so good.
Ooh, okay. Judges chapter 6, verse 34 describes that the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, but it actually is translated the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon. But one scholar describes it that the Holy Spirit wore Gideon like a garment.
Ooh.
And isn't that what we hunger for in our lives, that we become
contoured
to the presence of Christ?
Oh, I love that. And I love you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being here. And thank you for being here.
Loved it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I loved it. We'll see you next time on Life Today. Bye-bye.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Visit LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.